feeding families, making it out of the hood with that one.
Welcome to Tapping Vegas, brought to you by Better and Green. We are talking today about UFC 308, Ilia Topuria versus Max Holloway in Abu Dhabi. This card is insane. I think this is the best card we've had since UFC 300. Ilia Topuria, unfortunately for some of the Max Holloway stands out there, me and Bobby were big fans. You got to see if we are going to pick him against the BMF title holder currently. Also, Bobby has a secret bonus bet for you guys at the very end of this video. If you want to get in on that in the Haymaker, make sure you watch till the end. We are breaking down seven or eight fights today to make you guys some money. Last week, up of a unit. Thank you, Kat. Guest starring last week, and we're ready to get into this week. Bobby, why don't you take this first fight away, man?
Fareed Basharat versus Victor Hugo, already starting off with some fire. You got Victor Hugo. He is a newcomer to the UFC. He has got his Contender Series contract last October, knee bar win over Eduardo Torres. Was supposed to make his debut the following November last year against Daniel Marcos. Hugo was above the contracted weight, couldn't work out a catch weight, couldn't work out a percentage of the purse, so the fight was canceled. So now he's making his much-anticipated this would be his second fight in the UFC, because after the Marcos fight was canceled, he did finally beat Pedro Falcao, unanimous decision over three rounds this past April. So now this would be a second UFC fight against Basharat, and wow, what a second fight in the UFC to already be going up against Fareed Basharat. So Hugo's 31, not huge age difference there, 5'7", 71-inch reach. We got Basharat here, undefeated. Hugo does definitely have the experience edge, 25 wins, 4 losses. Definitely has that over Basharat, who is only 12 fights but undefeated, so definitely has the mental edge there. Both with the same 71-inch reach. Basharat's just a little bit taller at 5'8", 27. Not a huge age difference. Not a huge height reach difference. Don't anticipate that playing a role in it. So, yeah, for Victor Hugo to be going up against Basharat this early with only his second UFC fight, kind of feels like he's being fed to a wolf here. Taylor Lapolis is who Basharat just beat this past January. Impressive win. Cleetson Rodriguez, arm triangle last September. Win over Blackshear last March. Alan Bogoso, unanimous decision, has how he got his Contender Series contract 2 years ago. So undefeated in the UFC, undefeated point blank period in his pro career, even undefeated as an amateur. Hard to see a world where Basharat doesn't win this for me personally. Basharat's just such a good fighter, man. Very well-rounded. Like I said, he has that mental edge being undefeated, even though Hugo has the experience edge. So, unfortunately, not really a lot to say about this. I just think Basharat's the better fighter. He has the momentum. I know there's something going around about Twitter right now, whether momentum's a real thing in sports. I think it is a real thing in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Basharat's a minus 750. It's getting a bit ridiculous, but I really can't see why not with how Basharat's looked since he's been in the UFC. Hugo's a plus 525. I hate to say it, but I can't pick against the minus 750, especially when it's Basharat. And, I mean, at least they're giving you some good prop odds here. If you want Basharat KO, TKO, it's plus 800, subs plus 275. They seem to think it's going to decision at minus 160. Winning method, let me see what maybe some double methods look like here. So, personally, to take the edge off, I think Basharat's going to get a finish. I think he wants a finish. He hasn't had one in the UFC except for that arm triangle over Cleetson Rodriguez. So, it's been a while. It's been over a year since he's had a UFC finish. I think he wants to make a statement, and I believe it's Abu Dhabi they're going to be at. So, I think he's going to be hungry for that. I think he's going to try to have his statement win to prove that he can still translate to the UFC with that finishing power. I think he is a better striker, even though Hugo's nickname is the striker or something crazy like that. I think Basharat's the better striker, definitely the better grappler. So Basharat by KO, TKO, or sub at plus 200 is pretty tantalizing to take that money line edge off. What do you think, Ben?
I think you're spot on with Basharat being the pick here. For people watching, these graphics were not made even 24 hours ago. These were made just a couple hours ago, and he's already moved. Bobby, they're seeing him as a minus 625 favorite, and he's jumped all the way to minus 750 now, just in the couple hours since these graphics were made. So that means money is pouring in on Bacharat. 89% on the money line, it looks like, over on DraftKings. And you know what? I can't blame him. And Vegas can't blame them either, and they just keep bumping that line up and up and up so they don't have to pay this money yet, even though there's money pouring in. So while it is the public side, Vegas is pushing this line so they make sure that they're the ones that make money too. So I can't disagree. I'm going to be on the decision, though. I'm going to be in the decision at minus 160. It's nasty, but I just think Bacharat's more of a point fighter than a finisher. Hugo, I think, is going to be tough enough to outlast. At minus 160, I mean, that's kind of hard to take on a money line when it's juiced up like that. That is going down to a single method at minus 160. So that is not a great bet. If I would probably personally stay away from this fight, but I think since I'm going to be throwing a unit on it, I think I'll be throwing the unit on the decision.
All right.
Let's talk about the second fight. We have Matias Rebecki versus the guy from the Geico commercials. So wait, sorry, that's not right. We have Matias Rebecki versus Brendan Fraser in Encino Man. No, that's not his name either. My fault. I got Matias Rebecki versus the guy from Ancient Cave Drawings. Okay, I can't pronounce this guy's name, so we're just going to move on. Me and Bobby talked about this one a lot leading up. Rebecki has been kind of universally seen up until the last fight as just a tank, a monster, a guy that is really good, and then he got his eyes just completely obliterated. Now you're seeing him at a plus 250, which is hard to believe because this guy was like a minus 300, 400 just a couple months ago. Year ago, we're saying it might be correct, unfortunately. Orlabi, he's a really decent guy. He's got a lot of takedowns. You see on your screen right now, 7.44 takedowns a fight. Like, that's a lot of takedowns. And then he'll just ground and pound you. He has, I believe, a couple submission wins too. So you're not getting a lot with the money line. Minus 325 now. Looking at winning methods, I feel like this might be a guy that you're going to get value from doing the double method here. KO plus 275, sub plus 450. So if I can get Mittebeck at a double KO sub, okay, I'm going to get a KO sub plus 165. It looks like the money's coming in on him to win by decision. What do you think, Bobby?
Yeah, we talked a lot about this fight before the show. I was a big Rebecki guy. Really thought he looked phenomenal when he came into the UFC 2023, making his debut in January. But, I mean, since then, yeah, he's won three fights. He's finished two of those fights. But, I mean, one of those finishes was over Roosevelt Roberts by armbar in round one last November. I like Roosevelt Roberts. I think there's a place for him, but maybe it's not the UFC, so it's lost a lot of luster having that win. And then it seemed like my biggest complaint against him once he finally took that step up to that next level of competition against Diego Ferreira, if he would have been subbed by Ferreira this past May when he lost, I would have had no problem with it. It would have made sense. Ferreira is a big BJJ guy, very good accomplished grappler, had an amazing grappling fight with Gregor Gillespie. Yep, amazing grappling fight with Gregor Gillespie, very entertaining fight that year. But he got boxed up and just outstruck by Diego Ferreira, and that was just the biggest concern because he had nothing for Ferreira in that fight, who's just primarily a grappler, and just to get boxed up by him and ground and pounded into round three finish was just really just kind of capped a ceiling for me. Orlabi does not have as much experience, 13-1, one no contest. Rebecki has the experience edge at 19-2, but Orlabi has just faced the better competition. I mean, Elvis Brenner, unanimous decision win. I'm pretty high on Brenner. Uros Medic, I'm high on Uros Medic. Fought in LFA, which is a very good feeder organization for the UFC, and he was undefeated in the LFA in three fights. So really good feeder organization. The Central Asian, Eastern European regional scene usually has some pretty good fighters and grapplers. He was, you know, doing well there. So the only edge I give Rebecca this is in the fight experience edge. But other than that, I really just can't take Rebecca after how bad he looked against Ferreira, getting outstruck by that guy. And plus 260 money line for him, minus 325 for Olabai. I'm with the methods and everything that you're on. I just, as much as I would like Rebecca to win, it's just until I see a sign of life from the dude, it's like fantasy football, man. I got to bench him until I see something better from the dude.
Great analysis, dude. I love that you use fantasy football there. Break down this next fight.
Yeah, so next fight we have Shara Bullitt, and Shara Bullitt is going up against Armin Petrosian. Thank you. Yep, Armin Petrosian. Petrosian's plus 136, Magomedov's minus 162. This is probably the better lines that we're getting on this card right now. Yeah. So not a completely lopsided one, and I see why, because Petrosian's a striker, Magomedov's a striker. So good matchmaking. Because obviously if you're trying to figure out, okay, who's the UFC trying to push, obviously it would be Shara Magomedov that they're trying to push, Sharputin Magomedov. Petrosian has been in the UFC for a little while now, had some hype coming in, hasn't really been able to make that translate, just kind of bounced around, it's kind of a middling guy. And unfortunately, I don't really see that changing with this fight, you know? I just think Petrosian is kind of going to forever, unfortunately, be that middling fighter. Just lost to Rodolfo Vieira, getting choked out, arm triangle choke in round one this past February. Beat AJ Dobson, beat Christian Leroy Duncan. Not impressive names. Lost to Cal Barallo back in July 2022. No shame there with how good Barallo's looked. But, I mean, other than that, man, he's been in the UFC since 2022, and he's just been very spotty. One loss, one loss, like, 2-2 right now, and he's 1-2-3. He's 3-2 right now. I think he's about to be 3-3. He's just that run of the mill middle guy fighter. It's just he's had 2 years now, hasn't really been that active as you would expect him and want him to be, with all the hype and every momentum he came into the organization with from the Contender Series with a very impressive head kick punches finish in round one in October 2021 to get that contract and get his shot at the UFC. I know Shara Magomedov is a guy I've been high on for a while, been watching him in the regional scene, had my eyes on him, trying to scout the talent for a few years now. And I think this is just a great match for him, putting him up against another striker. And until I see him challenged by a grappler, and obviously why would the UFC do that when they realize how valuable he is to this Abu Dhabi market and the Islamic world and the Russian market and all those countries and nationalities and all that that he appeals to, why would you put your cash cow up against somebody who's actually going to challenge him when you can give him Antonio Trockley, when you can give him Michelle Olajecek, when you can give him Bruno Silva, you know? So all that to be said, I still need to see some improvement from Shara Magomedov, but until you start putting him up against some grapplers, if you're just going to keep giving him middle-of-the-road strikers, he's going to continue to feast on them. He's going to continue to just line them up and knock them down and get that UAE, Abu Dhabi fan base just continuously ravenous for him, because with his medical condition, it's not even clear if he's even going to be able to ever fight in the UFC, because no medical commission with an actual license would ever allow that, knowing that he really is blind in that eye. So we might not ever see him leave that part of the world, you know, to fight. Mm-hmm. He might just always be an Abu Dhabi card guy. So all that being said, right now, Shara Magomedov, even though it's a 3-round fight, to win by KO, TKO due to, like, volume accumulation, like you get against Trockley at a plus 320, is pretty salivating to me. So I think that's what I'm going to go with. What do you think?
Man, I am so glad you mentioned that he's, like, an Abu Dhabi card guy. I don't see him ever fighting in the United States. I think every time we go to Abu Dhabi, we're going to see this guy on the card. And I don't think they want this guy losing. I don't think this guy's ever going to get a title shot just for that reason alone. I think they're just going to keep feeding him these guys. He's Armin, the Mikhail Olajecek guys. And I was on the knockout last time when he fought Olajecek, and I just was not that impressed with Magomedov, man. It really burned me. I want to go the decision here. If you do the decision, though, like, Magomedov's already not a minus 200 or something. He's like a decent money line guy. If you go down to the decision, it's only plus 140. So I'm like, oh, that's nasty. And get the KO and decision for minus 145. So it takes a little bit off the money line. I think that's the way I'm going to go here. So even if he doesn't get the knockout, he just gets the decision win, which I think he will. If you're looking at these two guys, Magomedov's a better striker here. And combine these guys, combined for 0.22 takedowns a fight. So these guys, this is not going to go to the ground. This is going to be a glorified boxing match. I like Armin too, so maybe I just don't want to see him get knocked out. But for this one, I lean decision, but like you said, this could absolutely be a KO by volume. So I'm going to hedge my best to KO decision at the minus 145.
All right, there we go. I like it.
Let's get that knockout so we can cash both.
I know, right?
Let's talk about this next fight. We have Leron Murphy versus Dan Ige. God, this card is so good. It's not fair that Abu Dhabi gets this one. Dan Ige, man, he is a dog. He is a dog. This one is so hard for me to pick. Murphy is moved up to minus 290 now, so he's moved up 20 cents. This looks like it's going to go over. I think I agree. I think that Murphy probably does enough, like he out-muscles Ige. It just makes this a really boring fight. Just pushes him against the cage. Hit, and they'll break. And then kind of like the last match. I think this is going to be a big striking match. If I jump into their winning methods, I think Murphy wins in Murphy by KO at plus 450. Submission plus 2,200. I don't think either of these guys are getting a submission. Or by decision minus 160. Once again, it kind of feels like it's going to be Murphy by decision, doesn't it? That's just how I feel. Murphy KO decision minus 250. And his money line's minus 270. I think I'm going to take Murphy by decision here. He's just going to out-volume Ige, out-muscle him. I like Ige a lot more than I like Murphy, but I just think Murphy's just going to be the guy that gets it done here. What do you think, Bobby?
I can't disagree. Murphy's looked incredible, undefeated, 14-0, won no contest. This past May, handily disposed of Edson Barboza, just picked him apart over five rounds. Barboza never had a chance to even get going. Every bit of momentum was halted. beat Gabriel Santos, another good win. Let's see, who else? Michael Ranier Marconi, it was good that he was able to knock him out as like a gatekeeper of the division when they met each other in 2021. Douglas Silva de Andrade, good that he was able to beat him as another gatekeeper back then. Ricardo Lamas, like he's been around since 2019, done some good things, went to a draw with Tukugov, learned a lot from that, came back. That's his only blemish on his record so far. Yeah, just how he picked apart Barboza. I thought Barboza had a way better chance even at this stage of his career against Murphy. I can't disagree with anything you said. I agree with the decision. I agree with everything. Ige, like you said, is a dog. Ige is a game guy. He's a really good fighter, but Murphy's just that next generation. He's the next guy up. He's got that momentum. He's better, like more well-rounded, good striking, good grappling, good takedown defense. Everything's there. Yeah, I struggle to see this fight going anywhere other than Murphy decision pretty handily, just picking them apart over three rounds, and just any momentum Ige tries to get or, you know, capitalize on just gets stifled.
Bobby, unfortunately for us, Vegas also sees it that way, so they're not going to let us come out of here unscathed. They're going to make us take the nasty one decision at minus money, so I think that we're going to cash out here. It's just not going to be pretty, unfortunately. But let's talk about this next fight. I'm really hyped for this card, and this is one of those fights I'm really hyped for. Break it down.
Magomed Ankalaev versus Alexander Rakic. This is going to be a great fight. Ankalaev's eyeball on a title shot with an impressive win in this fight. Minus 380 right now for Ankalaev. Rakic is a plus 300. Not much to disagree with here how I see this fight kind of playing out. Ankalaev is a good grappler, obviously being one of those Russian guys known for the Sambo, known for having really good grappling and, you know, effective control time, submissions, all that. Excuse me, but primarily has a lot of KO, TKO wins on his record, and his only submission loss, and really the only blemish on his record, comes from, can you guess, the only blemish on Ankalaev's record, 19-1, one draw, one no contest. His only real loss was to ding, 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 Paul Craig, literally in the last second. Paul Craig called him in an arm triangle. Called him in a triangle choke.
You're right.
So, yeah, Magomed Ankalaev and Rakic. Rakic is coming off a brutal knockout to Jiří Procházka. Not trying to do MMA math here, but, I mean, let's be real. Ankalaev's a better striker. Rakic has been known in the past, if he feels like he has the wrestling edge, to just wet blanket and stall on top of guys, which is why I was really shocked he didn't try to do that with Procházka. He basically gave the win to Procházka, but playing right into the game Procházka wanted him to play, which was just standing and trading in a very sloppy striking fest. Trying to out-tough Procházka is a recipe for disaster, and he took the bait and paid for it in round two by getting knocked out by Procházka. So he definitely is not going to try to do that, you know, wrestling control time, wet blanket stall out tactic on Ankalaev, because that's a surefire recipe to get reversed, to get submitted, to get swept, just end up in a way worse position. If he tries to stay standing with Ankalaev, he's going to probably get knocked out because Ankalaev's a better striker and has a lot of KO, TKO wins on his record. So pretty much this is just, where does Ankalaev want the fight to take place? And if you're already fighting that battle with your opponent, you're already five steps behind if you're allowing them to dictate where the fight's going to take place. If you're giving Ankalaev options, you're already playing catch-up, and that's terrible. So I just don't have any more faith in Rakic at these levels of competition if he can't even put together an articulate and smart game plan against Procházka. It's going to be way harder to do that against somebody as well-rounded as Ankalaev, and, you know, breathing down the neck, dying hungry for that next title shot in the division, feeling like he's been passed up, feeling like he needs that statement. Dana White's already came out and said, hey, you know, if you want that title shot, you have to make a statement. I think the table's set for him to do that. It's in Abu Dhabi. He's going to have the crowd on his side. He's going to have the hype. He's going to have that energy. He's going to have Dana's words in the back of his mind. He's going to take into account he's 19-1. He needs that shot. Rakic doesn't really have anything to go for. He's coming off that brutal loss. You know, I don't really think he's coming back too fast. I think he's giving himself enough time. But you got to start making peace with that devil in your mind that's telling you you might not ever be good enough. And just so many factors are against him in this fight. So Ankalaev by KO, TKO, or sub at plus 200 is too good for me to pass up to take the edge off that money line. Obviously, yes, it could go to decision, but I just really think Ankalaev's coming out looking for that statement win. I think he can get either one. And like I said, it's pretty much all – he's in the driver's seat. So it's all dependent on what he wants to do. So since knowing that he wants to do that, I'm going to just play it safe. Well, it's not even really playing it safe. I'm just believing – that he's going to come out there, he's going to make that statement, and he's going to get a KO, TKO, or the sub at plus 200 to offset the money line. What do you think?
Well, I thought a lot of different things while you were talking. I switched three times what I was going to pick while you were talking. for me, it's always Ankalaev. I'm an Ankalaev fan, I feel. Rakic, I've always been kind of a hater on the dude. So the choice was easy for me, and I don't feel like I'm betting with my heart. I feel like I'm betting with my head here also. Just Ankalaev just seems so much better to me. He seems like such a more skilled guy. The Russian dude in Abu Dhabi, everything's pointing to Ankalaev, and sometimes that's bad, but I don't know here. They're really pushing the Ankalaev decision. It's at minus 115. I get it, because sometimes he just kind of like lays on guys. And that's my initial bet was the minus 115. But you have a good point. If he wants a title fight, when's a better time to make a statement? And also, dude got knocked out by Jiří. It's like, man, if you're getting knocked out by Jiří, I don't think that's a good sign. No slams on Jiří. Like, I don't want that to sound disrespectful, but we've seen him against Pereira. He just is so sloppy with his form. It's just not good. Anybody that is going to be worth their weight, like Ankalaev versus Jiří, I feel like Ankalaev would win that. I jumped up to the KO, which is plus 225. Like, okay, maybe Bobby's right. He's onto something here. Maybe he wants to get that finish. And then you brought up, well, the KO subs plus 200. So it's just 25 extra cents. So it's like, why not get a whole nother method just in case to cover second base? I really think Ankalaev wins here. So I will be with you on the KO sub. I like the money. I just worry that, kind of like we saw with Shara when it went to decision, it's like, Ankalaev, just go out there, please. Oh, and we were on somebody last week, too, that was saying that they wanted to get the finish. Oh, is it Johnson? I think Charles Johnson.
Yeah, this week. Charles Johnson. Yeah.
We were talking, and it bit us in the butt, but I don't know. Ankalaev is not Charles Johnson either.
I was just about to say, the chasm between those two is Grand Canyon, like.
Right. So I don't want to hold that against him. I don't want to get bit twice, but I'll be with you on the plus 200. Also, I hate taking single methods. So you need to hit the fighter. You need to hit the method, and you're not getting plus money. That's just really hard to swallow. So I'm not going to do it. The minus 115. I'll do the plus 200 with you. You made a good enough case for it.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Let's go to this next fight, which these next two fights have huge names that everybody knows. That is the man, Bobby Knuckles, Robert Whittaker, facing the guy everybody knows also, Khamzat Chimaev. Unless you've been watching UFC for the last 3 years, and maybe you don't know Khamzat Chimaev. this has been one of Bobby's guys on previous shows where it's like, all right, can you bet on this fight doesn't happen? And Bobby's cashed out many times with Khamzat. He's back. Khamzat was on a crazy run, 13-0. Dude's never lost. He's younger than Whittaker, longer reach than Whittaker, as a wrestling pedigree that Whittaker doesn't have. I don't want to bet with my heart here, but I just feel like Whittaker wins this. I really feel like Whittaker is going to get the win here because Khamzat's been gone for so long, and it's not as much like, what's Khamzat, like, how's his cardio going to be? Is he going to be in shape? I think he's going to be in shape. I think he's going to be fine, but mentally, like, you have not been in that cage and getting your face beat in for so long. Like, this guy competed in combat sports, wrestling, whatnot, and just since he was a kid, nonstop. And now it's like, okay, I know you're training, but training is so different than when you're actually there. Like, wrestling practice versus a wrestling match, it's almost not even the same sport. It is just so different. Khamzat's been gone so long, and now he comes in against a guy like Bobby Knuckles that is really good. He just fought, I believe it was on the last Abu Dhabi card, actually, when he knocked out, I think that guy was
Askarov.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think Askarov was the favorite for that one too, if I'm remembering correctly, like a minus 165, minus 170, something like that.
Right.
Because it started changing. It was like pretty close. And then Askarov, the closer got to the fight, more money started pouring in on him. I just think Khamzat's been gone for too long. And if I can get plus 200 versus Whittaker, making another title run versus a guy who hasn't fought in so long, I think I'm going to take the plus money. What do you think, Bobby?
This is tough because I'm fully on Khamzat on this. As much as I like Robert Whittaker, Khamzat, when he is healthy, is just electrifying to watch. He is just the highest ceiling guy I have ever seen come through MMA in a very long time. The ceiling is like castle levels of just massive, and the floor is just absolutely atrocious. It is just absolutely atrocious. Like I don't want to say Anthony Richardson again of like MMA fighters, because Anthony Richardson's shown nothing and Khamzat has shown everything when he actually fights. The only problem has been his biggest opponent has been health. That is the opponent that is hardest to beat for him, is availability, because every time he does actually make it to the cage, I mean, Gilbert Burns gave him a hell of a time. Usman, I rewatched that fight just last night. People really exaggerated that. He did not get that much of a reaction from Usman, not that much of a challenge from Usman. He had like one brief moment where people really over-exaggerated Usman rocking him, I think in the second round or whatever. My X factor for the fight is this. I think Whittaker is the better striker, but my X factor is the grappling, because we haven't really seen Robert Whittaker have to deal with grappling. We haven't seen him really challenged by a great grappler. Like DDP had a beautiful pass, Toriando pass or something crazy against him in their fight, but that was set up by how concussed and rocked Bobby was. for DDP to be able to secure the finish from there. But like the Yoel fight, the both Yoel fights, everybody thought that he was going to be challenged by that, but he wasn't because Yoel just never used his wrestling. So this would be his biggest obstacle to date in a very long time against an insane grappler who's going to be pushing the pace. And that plays right into Khamzat, because the only time Khamzat has struggled in the UFC is when he's had to go up against grapplers. Like, even though he didn't really struggle against Usman, Usman still gave him a tough fight because of Usman's credentials in the wrestling department. Burns gave him fits and like his toughest challenge to date because of his BJJ credentials. So for all that's made of Robert Whittaker being like an Australian Commonwealth Games level wrestler and all this, I still think it's Khamzat head and shoulders above him in grappling. And even the striking's not really as crazy as people are making it out to be. I mean, Khamzat can get reckless and defensively unsound, but other than that, yes, Whittaker has the edge with the karate boxing style. But I mean, he's going to be like, the pace is going to be put on him. And that's another thing that Whittaker struggles with, is the pace. Like, Khamzat is just going to melt him with the pace. And another knock against Khamzat that's not going to be at play in this fight, I believe this is just a 3-round fight as the co-main, or is it a 5-rounder?
I'll check while you're talking.
Yeah, so once we figure that out, the only other knock is Khamzat's cardio. People have accused him of not having championship-level cardio to make it into the 4th and 5th round. And if this isn't a 5-round fight, he's definitely going to be able to push that pace in 3 rounds. 5-rounder?
It's 5 rounds.
All right. That makes it a little bit more interesting. But, I mean, I'm still on Khamzat, man. I'm still on Khamzat. Just when he fights, I feel like this is just a good matchup for him. Like, he plays – him and Whittaker play against each other so well because, like I said, Whittaker just doesn't like pressure. He needs to be challenged by a grappler. And then Khamzat has potential cardio issues, but it's like, I just think it's Khamzat. Every time Khamzat fights, like I said, his biggest obstacle is just something that it's so hard to control, which is his health. So the Gilbert Burns fight was probably like another 3-rounder, I think. So it's my only concern, but it's just not enough to get me off of Khamzat, man. And as much as I love Whittaker, like, twilight comes for everybody's career, man. Right. It always comes at some point, and it's just about that time for Robert Whittaker. He's been great at holding off guys like Alaskarov, which, fun fact, him and Khamzat both have beaten Alaskarov at various points in their careers, and by the exact same punch, the exact same setup and everything. So that actually shows how much Alaskarov has not evolved, even at the highest levels of mixed martial arts, to still have such a glaring weakness that's so easily exploitable in his fight style. So, yeah, Khamzat just really feels like, when he is healthy, he's just one of those special talents that you just feel really lucky every time you get to see him fight. And you, like, on social media, that's why I had to go back and rewatch that Usman fight, because watching that now versus watching it live, it's just so stupid, the difference that people were like, oh my god, he's getting beat up by Usman got robbed and all that. And it's like, he's the guy people love to hate and hate to love, but when he's actually in the cage, he feels special, he feels talented, and he feels like he is that guy that the only thing that holds him back is something that's very hard to control. So all that to say, I'm on Khamzat. You're not really getting a good double method on this. You're not really getting good odds, because the money line is just unfortunate. But, I mean, for as far as winning methods, I really like Khamzat sub at plus 240. I see a very similar situation where he rocks Bobby. Bobby gets, you know, pressured. He either shoots a takedown himself, you know, because he's overwhelmed by punches. He's overwhelmed by the power, which is something else Bobby struggles with. And it seems like Khamzat does have power, and Bobby does not like power punchers. He gets rocked. He either shoots the takedown or Khamzat shoots the takedown. He doesn't know where he's at, and he gets supped because he's just rocked and concussed. So plus 240 for that to take the edge off is how I'm riding.
It's nice that you turned a minus 245 into a plus 240. So great swing there, Bobby. Talk about swinging. This last fight is going to be my knuck if you buck fight of the night. Bobby, take it away, man. This is going to be electric.
Topuria versus Max Holloway, the main event, 5-round championship fight. This is a crazy one. This is another one very back and forth, very unclear who could win. You could make a very compelling argument for either guy. But I'm going to go with Topuria, and here's my argument. I don't like to do the armchair psychologist. I don't read too much into stare downs. For every stare down you could point to where you're like, oh, that guy's scared, and he ends up winning. Like Fedor Emelianenko barely ever made eye contact with any of his opponents. He either won the fight or he lost the fight, and eye contact did not play a role in that whatsoever.
Right.
Numerous other examples. That's just the immediate one that pops right into my brain crystal clear. Even since I've been checking this on and off all day, Max Holloway is now even more of an underdog. I think he was like plus one something literally just probably 20, 30 minutes ago. Now he's at a plus 205 money line. Topuria is a minus 250. Wild swings all up and down this card, guys. Wild swings. Yes. So if you're looking to make any type of money on any of the people we're talking about, you need to get there quick, fast, and in a hurry, because this stuff is bipolar with how wildly oscillating back and forth it is. What I like about Topuria, just like the Khamzat Whitaker fight, I wonder if the ground game is going to be an X factor. Cardio is definitely not going to be a problem for Holloway. Holloway has a great gas tank, great cardio. Haven't really had to see him much in the grappling department. One thing that immediately comes to my mind, and once again, early career Max Holloway versus this stage of his career now Max Holloway. Obviously, night and day difference. Might as well be different people entirely. But it immediately comes to mind his fight with Conor McGregor, where he was getting pieced up on the feet. But in the middle of that fight, Conor tore an ACL or an MCL and had to start taking down Max very easily, might I add, to be able to win the fight with ground control time and to secure the victory. So Max hasn't really been challenged by a grappler. Topuria does have that, I believe it's freestyle or Greco-Roman background that he actually started off his combat sports career with, especially as a Georgian guy. They pride themselves on that grappling credentials. Mm-hmm. So that's an X factor that I'm wondering over the course of five rounds, if he's getting pieced up, if he's going to dig into the well house and pull that bag of tricks out that could potentially befuddle Max. And speaking of befuddlement, Max is just a guy that little small things really confuse him you wouldn't expect. Like his rematch with Poirier when he moved up to 155, I think it was for the interim belt or a shot at the real belt or whatever. But anyway, my point is, in that fight with Dustin Poirier, that rematch at 155 when he moved up, he at one point went back to his corner really confused and aggravated that Poirier was doing that like hillbilly shoulder roll, as Jack Slack calls it, where he like blocks with his forearm like in that holding the phone position, and just really had fits about that, just confused as to how to counter that. And that's kind of like a really basic boxing thing that he struggles with for some reason. And if there's one thing that Topuria does really well, is he's a very sound fundamental boxer, and he has that V-step that he likes to use and those pivots and those angles he likes to create to back off the center line, because Max Holloway thrives off guys who are, you know, I don't want to say stupid enough, but naive enough is a better word, to just stand in the center line with them, not moving, and just exchange shots. He's so good with his taunts and everything else at just baiting guys. You instantly think of Calvin Kattar. You think of Justin Gaethje in that last fight, just getting guys caught in his web, playing his game. And like we just talked about with Ankalaev, if you're getting yourself into another guy's game without implementing your own or thinking about your own, you're already losing the fight. And I don't think Topuria is going to do that. And I'm not going to do another armchair psychologist where I talk about the clip of how Topuria looked after Max knocked out Gaethje. Like, did he look a little shook? Sure. But who knows why or how that could have been. And it's like, this is now October. This is months later. They're fighting, and I don't think he's going to be scared. I think he's going to be prepared. I think he's going to be ready. And as long as he doesn't deviate from his game plan, he's not going to stay just standing and banging with Max Holloway. He's good at taking those angles and cutting off and that fundamental boxing stuff that just gives Max Holloway fits. He likes to call himself the best boxer in the UFC. I think he's the best striker, one of the best strikers in the UFC, but from a boxing standpoint, he's not a guy that comes to mind. Poirier comes to mind. Peter Yan on his rise comes to mind. Topuria comes to mind. Like, there's so many other guys. JDM comes to mind with a boxing style, and it's just not Holloway for me. He's more of a good kickboxer, good, well-rounded striker. Another thing that could play a role in this fight, Holloway struggles with calf kicks. Topuria has been a very good proponent of the calf kick and those leg kicks and things like that. Volkanovski gave Max Holloway, and all the fights he had with Max Holloway, fits with the leg kick and the calf kick, something that he just fails to adapt to, very small, basic, fundamental strikes. Like, you can't it, – it's just kind of shocking to me how much, like, basic, fundamental stuff just frustrates the hell out of Max Holloway. And I think those solid fundamentals could end up being, like, a classic textbook case study of fundamentals beats flash, because Max Holloway, don't get me wrong – does have a lot of substance to his striking, but it's also a lot of flash, and it's also a lot of flash created off guys playing into his traps, falling for those traps, getting baited into these exchanges where the only one winning is Holloway and getting outpointed, out cardioed, all these things. I just don't think they're going to be problems for Topuria. I think he's trained. I think he's conditioned. I think he's ready. I think he's smart enough to game plan. Obviously, Holloway's always a live dog in any fight he's in, but I just think it's Topuria. I really do. I just think it's Topuria's time. I think he has too many things he can fall back on, too many avenues to win, and as long as he plays it smart, he's going to be able to walk away with the dub, and then people are just going to suddenly act like they saw it coming this whole time, even though it's like, you know, I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but it's like I called it, you know? It's like kind of like, right. Why is it so surprising? So – to take the edge off the money line, and it's only getting worse. Man, Topuria KO TKO decision, KO TKO, excuse me, KO TKO DQ or sub at plus 110. That's not too crazy. But man, like if you go outright KO, even outright KO TKO is not good. It's only plus 175. The sub's plus 500. We could be revisiting that. If you think it's a decision, plus 250. I'm going to hear what you have to say, and then maybe I'll pick a method. We'll see, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about people looking back and not being surprised. Go back to that Volk and Topuria episode. We said, we're like, people are counting Topuria out of here, and like Volk has beaten all these guys, and Topuria hasn't faced that same level of competition. We're like, Topuria is a live dog. We've been on him for a long time. We've been on him since before he was a champion. He's so good. I don't think people really give him the credit yet. People are loving on Pereira, but man, Topuria is good. He has grappling that Max does not have. And looking at this, dude, most of his wins are by submission. 8 wins by submission, 5 by knockout, 2 decisions. This guy isn't content to just sit there and win on points. And I think Holloway, he's a good boxer. But also with Holloway, he's a guy that he doesn't have the power Topuria has, and he doesn't have the wrestling. So he's going to have to win a 5-round fight striking without getting knocked out, without getting taken down. And you said he's getting taken down by Conor McGregor. That is scary. That is scary. Topuria has UFC subs, so it's not like he was just subbing all these guys on the regional scene, comes in and starts getting decisions. No, he's gotten subs and then knocked out Volk, which is one of the longest reigning champs, one of the favorites. And we've seen the favorites just going down like crazy this year. Rest in peace, Sean O'Malley. Max Holloway, after that that Justin Gaethje fight with how electric 300 was, pointing to the ground, getting the knockout, all the pictures, it's still fresh in everybody's head. Everybody loves Max Holloway. This is just going to be another one where the public just, everybody knows him. You're getting Topuria. You're getting Holloway at plus money. Are you kidding? Did you see what he did? You know, he's fought all these guys. He had one lucky hit against Volk. They're going to be throwing their money on Holloway. God, that's a mistake. I'm getting all worked up. Besides Holloway just like pointing to Topuria and getting 3 rounds on all the judges' scorecards, I see that so hard to believe, man. And I don't see Holloway knocking out Topuria. I think Topuria either catches him or subs him. I really do. I think it's going to be a really ugly day for the Holloway fans. Right now, you can get the double method KO sub at plus 110, so you're getting the plus money. I think I'm going to do that versus just taking like the KO plus 175. I'd rather just whittle it down and get the sub for still plus money. Or you can get the sub at plus 500, which I think is very likely. Topuria has a lot of subs on his record. Holloway has literally no wrestling. He's just a pure striker. I'll say this too. Like, we don't want to do too much of the armchair psychologist. Tepore is just pointing out, like he's saying some faults in Max's game, and all Max's respond is, "We'll see Saturday night, man. We'll see on Saturday night." Like, that's like, I know you are, but what am I? Like, what right. type of comeback is that? Holloway, I don't want to say he's shit in his pants, but this is like, I feel bad for Holloway. Like, what an awesome win. And to come in here right after your very next one is getting finished by Topuria. I really don't see how Holloway wins this fight, man. I really don't. Does that help you at all with your pick?
Yeah, I was already leaning towards that KO, TKO sub double method because I could just see either one. I really think that Max's chin, and granted, don't get me wrong, I've been wrong because I've been saying it ever since the first Volk fight. I thought Volk would be the first one to crack it. But seriously, at some point, it doesn't get better with age. It doesn't get better with time. It doesn't get better with more fights. And at some point, with the way Topuria has been cracking, nobody thought he'd be the first guy to knock out Volkanovski in a very long time since, like, Volkanovski was fighting at 170. Right. And he's just so relentless. And it's like, especially if he's getting in Max's face in an intelligent way and not just being reckless, it's like Max is so used to being in the driver's seat, so used to being the hammer, not the nail. How's he going to deal with that adversity? Because, like, against Poirier, granted, it was at a bigger weight and everything. So it was like he doesn't have the advantage he normally does. But speaking of that, I know Max always looks bad when he's cutting to 145, but, man, he really looks skeletal in the face of that stare down. Like, that weight cut is another thing that does not get better with age. It does not get easier with time. So it also does not help your brain out when you're dehydrating it right before a fist fight. So I just feel like he can get cracked. And like I said, even though that first Conor fight was like a world away at this point and years ago, like 9-10 years ago at this point, it still is just like we haven't really even seen him challenge that much by a grappler. So it's like when he gets in there with Topuria, who does have those credentials, what's going to happen? I think he's going to be on the wrong side of it. So, yeah, you helped push me over the edge on that double method. I was already eyeballing it for you to suggest it solidifies it.
Love it, man. I love it. I want to hear your haymaker, which is a big odds play for the people. Then I will cut in, and then I want to hear your bonus bet, okay?
All right. So for haymaker, this one's tough because we got a lot of nasty odds on this one overall. Yeah. But there's a few things I've been kind of looking at. And I think one of those things that was most enticing to me was probably Khamzat related, I believe. Let me take another check of that right quick. Not as good as I thought it was going to be. Only plus 240 for the sub for Khamzat. So nothing crazy, but I would just like it to be a little bit better than that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because, I mean, he's minus 258, so it really helps, but nothing really earth-shattering there. I think maybe there was something Ankalaev related I was looking at. Sorry, it's just hard at this point to try to figure it out because you got so many enticing things that could be going on with these fights. Mm-hmm. Dude, Ankalaev sub at plus 1,800.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah. Ankalaev sub at plus 1,800. Fuck it, we ball.
Okay.
That's the purpose of a haymaker, right? Let me check the Topuria one because Topuria had something juicy, but I think we're going to be going with Ankalaev sub at plus 1,800. Feeding families, making it out of the hood with that one.
Yeah.
That hits. Ooh, Topuria sub, though, by itself is plus 5. So it's like, what do you think has the better chance of happening? And it's like, man, I see a world. I see a world where both can happen. I'm just going to go on Clive at 1,800, man. I just want that to hit so bad.
We haven't hit a 4-digit, but we have hit. It's high threes. I believe we have like a plus 900. We've had 700s, 650s, 500s. We've been hitting all around there. We got to hit the 4-digit one time. And guys, if you spend $5, that's almost $100 payout. There, $5 gets you $90. And if you guys want, spend $5 over on our friends DraftKings. And they're going to give you guys $200 in bonus bets instantly. So even if it doesn't hit, you don't get your $100. You get $200 in bonus bets. Use our link in the description. It'll send you there. It takes you to which state you are. So you, hopefully, you're in a state that DraftKings is legal in. Make sure you guys click the link in the bio to get that opportunity. $5 gets you $200 instantly. What is another bonus bet that the people can be on, Bobby?
So this one, congratulations if you stuck around this far. I will also be posting this on Twitter for all my Twitter followers. Bonus bet, Kennedy and Chokwu versus Chris Barnett. In no world should Kennedy and Chokwu ever, ever, ever in your life, my life, the entire world's life should never be a minus 750. I don't give a damn who it is. No world. Where Kennedy and Chokwu, who lost a 40-year-old OSP in one of the nastiest, most disgusting, sloppy fights I've ever seen in a very long time. No business being a minus 750. I don't even care that it's Chris Barnett. I'm taking Chris Barnett plus 525 money line all day. Hammering it.
One of those big bets was OSP. One of those big bets, one of the haymakers was the OSP win, and you got that one right. Going right back against Kennedy and Chokwu. I love it, man.
Yep, and that's going to be on Twitter also for all my Twitter followers. That's our special bonus bet. Plus 525 money line, Chris Barnett.
Absolutely, and you see our names below us. I'm the GM rep. You can find Bobby at Bobby Bullshito, and follow the page too. Follow Better Green at Better Green on X. Follow us on all socials. Make sure you guys subscribe. We post videos for every single card. Normally 5. We give you guys some extra ones because this card is just so awesome. And we'll see you guys on the next card. Peace.
Peace.
You better start listening to the Better in Green podcast. You will not regret it. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And hey, I'm Dean Blandino.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Better in Green, eh? To Better in Green, eh? To Better in Green, eh? Listening and cash out, that's what it's all about. Come on, let's make cash now. We always on spot and we cover old spot from the bottom to the top, eh? Shout out to Ethan, shout out to Wyatt, shout out to Ben. Welcome, welcome to our podcast, Better in Green.